50 years ago today, Marvin Gaye's single What's Going On was released. And boy, does this song still resonate.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
We wanted to talk about the history of this epic song. With us today is Ann DeLisi, host of Ann DeLisi's Essential Music on WDET. So What's Going On represented a significant shift into the political, both for Marvin and for Motown in general. What was going on with Marvin Gaye at this time in his life that made him want to put out a song like that?
Well, one of the things that inspired it was his brother was serving in Vietnam.
You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
And so he was, you know, mindful and moved by that. But when it came time to do this album, he was ready for a change. You know, his entire life had been going in a different direction, and his music certainly followed that. He wasn't even going to record this song himself originally. He wasn't going to be the one. He wanted to produce it, but he didn't want to be the singer and perform it. It was actually intended for the Four Tops because it was written by one of the Four Tops, Obie Benson. And the Tops thought it was too political. I think they even tried to get Joan Baez to record it, and she turned it down as well. So eventually, Marvin Gaye ended up recording it, and it was written by Marvin Gaye and Obie Benson, and they and Al Cleveland, I should also mention, he wrote it as well. So the three of them wrote this song, and it was inspired by the police brutality that Obie Benson witnessed. So Marvin Gaye had these feelings about his brother being in Vietnam, and Obie Benson saw this police brutality that was put upon these anti-war protesters.
Oh, but who would they judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know we...
So Berry Gordy was on board with this. This was someone who built his empire primarily on dance tunes and love ballads.
I think that Berry Gordy thought it was one of the worst songs he ever heard. And he had no interest in putting it out. And Marvin said that God, you know, this album was written and this song was written by God, that this was something that he was called to write. And he wasn't going to budge on it. Actually, he refused to record another note until this song was put out. And they sort of went around Berry Gordy. Harry Balk, who was the head of A&R at Motown Records, connected with Barney Ailes, who was in charge of distribution, sales and distribution, and knew how to get airplay. It was Barney Ailes who got it printed, you know, he got it pressed, I should say, and got it to a bunch of radio stations. And I think the day they put it out, it sold 100,000 copies. And then it just went from there, and it became a million seller.
Incredible. What did it take in terms of getting this song made? Was there anything else going on behind the scenes that you think is maybe lost?
Well, that Berry Gordy didn't know what was being made is the first thing. You know, he knew everything that was going on at Motown. He didn't know that this song was being made. Eventually, Marvin would sing on it. And then, of course, he had his friends Mel Farr and Lem Barney. You know, you hear at the beginning of that song, those are their voices. And they were, you know, they were part of the Detroit Lions at the time. And by the way, Marvin Gaye thought he wanted to be a football player and tried out for the Lions. And I think he got sacked a couple of times, and that sort of put that whole idea to bed. But they were his friends, and he brought them in. One of the other things that I should mention with this album, with this song, is that Marvin Gaye started to dress differently. So we hadn't seen him dress this way. We hadn't heard him sound this way. And it was just a complete shift for him. Also, one of the biggest things that Marvin Gaye did with the album, I know we're talking about the song, but this was the first time that the Funk Brothers and the artists and the other musicians that played on the album were actually credited so that we could see their names. And then, of course, the music itself. I should also mention one more thing. is that Marvin Gaye ended up using a technique of doubling and tripling his voice.
See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
That was done on this song by accident.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today.
The engineer at the time recorded Marvin. You know, he wanted to have two different versions of his own take to use. And they ended up getting sort of recorded together. And when Marvin heard it, he loved it. And so that was something that was different for this approach from a recording standpoint.
And this is a song that came out in 1971. Did it in some ways pave the way for what was going to come later from artists like Stevie Wonder and others that were suddenly going to put some very different and more personal and more political things in their writing and their music at Motown?
Certainly with this song and this different approach to making music at Motown, showed other artists what was possible. And it would have to open the eyes of Berry Gordy that things were changing. You know, the approach that Motown had taken for so long wasn't going to continue to work quite as well. And then, of course, comes the Temptations with their psychedelic era, and they were dealing with social issues as well. So, you know, Marvin Gaye was very well respected, and this definitely had caused a shift. This album and this song caused a shift at Motown for sure.
What does it say to you that from 1971 to 2021, the song still feels so relevant?
Well, that's another conversation altogether. It speaks to our society. It speaks to the fact that we are still wrestling with some of the same issues that inspired Marvin Gaye to write this song. So it would tell me that we have a lot of work to do still. But the fact that this song resonates with people and that they still love the performance of it and the message of it, that's the beautiful part of music. You know, it can stand the test of time and reflect our thoughts and our feelings about what's going on in our society. You know, we're always kind of amazed when we say about this song, and this was, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we always say, oh, this song could have been written today. That's the sort of sobering part of it, is that it is still so relevant today, and we would have hoped that we would have gotten past a lot of the things that Marvin Gaye was addressing and was inspired by to write this song. So we have some work to do.
Ann DeLisi of Ann DeLisi's Essential Music on WDET. And that's Stateside for today. I'm April Baer. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you tomorrow.